Now tonight, I want to share with you a message that I believe has the potential to radically redirect your life, to change the game for you. I think in my own life, it was a real game changer for me, because there have been many times in my life when I felt all alone. And if you're honest, some of the hardest moments in our lives, the most challenging times in our lives, are moments when you and I feel completely isolated. And maybe even today, you can be in a crowd and still feel lonely. Billy Graham said a few years ago that the number one problem in America was loneliness. So you can even be surrounded by people and yet feel very, very alone. But I want to give you a big thought tonight, and that is that you never stand alone. You never stand alone. And God created us for connection. He created us for relationships. And we were meant to do life together. God never meant for us to do life alone. And I want you to see this on your outline. A big thought here is we are created for connection, but we drift toward isolation. Let me say that again. We are created for connection, but we drift toward isolation. Now let me unpack that for just a few moments here. You and I are created to have a connection with God. We are created to have connection with each other. And you're here tonight. If you're here tonight, you are a part of the church. And what God is doing is He is building His church. And you and I know that the church is not a building. It's not a building. It's the people. The church is you. The church is me. The church is all of us. In fact, Scripture says it this way. Look on your outline, Ephesians 2. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here. Now I want to just stop and say this for a moment. No matter what your past, no matter what your background, no matter what you've been through, no matter the magnitude of your sin, you are welcome here. You are welcome at the journey. So look, it continues. You belong here with as much right to the name of Christian as anyone. God is building a church. He's building a home. And He's using all of us to accomplish that. He used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation. Now He's using you, fitting us in, you and I, brick by brick, stone by stone, with, what does it say, Christ Jesus as the cornerstone. You're a stone. I'm a stone. I didn't say stoned. But you're a stone. I'm a stone. And together we all make up the church. Together. And God is putting us together. Stone by stone. By stone. And so part of every one of us is that need to connect. We were created to connect. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden, it was out of His goodness that He desired a relationship with them, a connection with Adam and Eve. So we are here to learn from each other. We are here to support each other and to draw strength from each other, because none of us are doing it perfectly. We all need help. We all need prayers. We all need each other. And we need to let God build the church, because we were created for connection, but we tend to drift toward isolation. And you know what I've noticed? This has become, believe it or not, with social media, it has become a bigger problem in our generation than in past generations. Because, you know, you see people so active on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all of that. Why? Because people long for connection. You know, you post that picture, you know, and you check back a few minutes later to see if you got any likes. And, you know, you're always, and what you don't realize is when you see the other people's Facebook, you're seeing their highlight reel. You're not seeing the problems they have. You're not seeing the challenges they have. You're seeing their highlight reel. And you look at that, and sometimes if you're not careful, you'll feel jealous. Man, that looks like a great party. Why didn't they invite me? Or, this looks like a wonderful thing. Why didn't more people like it? So we need to learn to, even in this high tech, we need to learn as a church to be high touch. Because what happens is we tend to drift toward isolation. And these feelings of inadequacy that all of the social media make you feel. And we drift toward isolation. And when we do, that's dangerous. And as a pastor, as your pastor who loves you, I want to tell you, I have observed this over many, many years now. And I have seen so many people taken out by the enemy because they were alone. They were isolated. In a marriage, one spouse begins to drift. And you tend to want to move away rather than move toward each other. And if you're not intentional about working toward that connection in your marriage, then you're likely to drift towards isolation. And so you find yourself in a place that before you know it, you are making decisions you never thought you would make. You are betraying vows and promises that you made. Why? Because you feel that drift. You feel that isolation. I've seen people, you know, that they miss one Sunday. And boy, they feel bad about it. But before you know it, they miss a second. Then they may come back, and then they miss three the next time. And then they come. And that is becoming a pattern in American churches. As a matter of fact, we now have about 38% of the people in America that go to church once a week. Do you know what it was back in the 60s? 58 to 62%. And now people are satisfied to just go once a month. And I've seen people begin that progress where they begin to fall out and drift away from God. Because they were created for connection. But I see them drifting toward isolation. And I want to tell you, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to fight the drift. Fight the drift. Say that with me. Fight the drift. Say it again. Fight the drift. So how do you do it? How do you win the fight against the drift? How do you win the fight toward isolation? You do it by never standing alone. And there are three thoughts I have for you tonight. Write these down. Number one, remember the faithfulness of God. Remember the faithfulness of God. And remember that the most important connection in your life is your relationship with God. When you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, when you enter into a relationship with Christ, when you accept what He did for you on the cross, and you say, Jesus Christ, I give you my life. The moment you do that, the moment you trust Christ, you will never stand alone again. For He has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Sure, in life you'll face hardships. You'll face trouble. You'll go through battles in life. But when you do so, if you're a believer, you'll have God by your side. And one day you'll look back and you will see His faithfulness. You will see how good He was to you. You will see how He watched over you and how He walked with you in those difficult moments. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. So when you're tempted to drift, when you're tempted to pull away, Remember the goodness of God. Remember the goodness of God. So the first thing you do in your fight is remember the faithfulness of God. I already said that. Remember the faithfulness of God. Why? Because everybody needs God. Whether they know it or not, everybody needs the Lord. You know, there's a story in the Bible about Israel. And some of you have heard this story before about Joshua. And they've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years and because of their stubbornness and so forth. And they get to the River Jordan. And all they have to do is to enter into that land of milk and honey is to, by faith, walk across the Jordan River. And what's so important in this passage that we're about to read is that God tells Joshua, pick up 12 stones and stack them up one by one as a memorial to the fact that I am the God who walked with you all the way through those 40 years. So set those stones there as a memorial. Let's pick up the story here in Joshua 4. Then Joshua said to the Israelites, in the future your children will ask. Your children are going to ask, what do these stones mean? Verse 22, then you can tell them. This is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Listen, when you feel the tendency to drift toward isolation, we remember what God has done for us. When you feel like wondering, when you feel like backing off, when you're feeling weary because you've been waiting for so long, when you feel like I just can't go on anymore, and you feel desperately alone, I want you to just remember the faithfulness of God. The God who walked with his people for 40 years is the God who walks with you. And when you need provision, he will come through. When you feel trapped, he will give you a way out. And when you were dead in your sins, he provided a plan of salvation so that you can be forgiven and you can have eternal life in heaven. God is faithful. Remember that. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, God was gracious to rescue me. God was gracious to rescue you, to save you, to forgive you. I appreciate the Lord so much that he gave me a new life. And he forgave the past and that he then placed me into the church family. And now I am a stone in God's temple. And you can rejoice in that same thing tonight if you are a believer. That's what God does for us. He's faithful and he places us in the church. So you remember the faithfulness of God. And when the devil tries to bring up your past or the devil tries to remind you of some mistake you've made, you just remember God's faithfulness. And you remind yourself that God is with you. Now I want to just stop right here. And I want to acknowledge the fact that there are people here tonight that are feeling like, you know, I can't see God's faithfulness right now. Or maybe I can't see God's faithfulness in my past. Sometimes it is hard in the midst of a battle to remember God's faithfulness. In fact, there are moments, if you're really honest with yourself, where you feel like God is not faithful. You know, you prayed about a job, you needed that job for your family, but it never came. Some other job came. You prayed for a loved one that was sick, and they weren't healed in the way you thought they were. They should have been healed. Or maybe you were abandoned by your biological parents. And now as an adult you're struggling with, why did they do that to me? Why didn't they want me? Did they want me? The person I trust. Maybe you're thinking the person I trusted abused me. Or as I said, maybe you watched a loved one lose their battle to cancer or some other disease. Maybe you made the biggest mistake that destroyed your life and the life of others, and you carry guilt and shame about it. I want you to remind you tonight, remember, you are a rock. And God is faithful. Whatever you have, God is faithful. So remember, even when it's hard, remember God's faithfulness. Number two, write this down. Rely on God's people. Rely on God's people. Everybody needs somebody. Everybody needs God. And then number two, everybody needs somebody. Rely on God's people. You need someone that you can go to and you can talk to. Someone that you can vent to. Someone that you can open up and share your doubts and your fears. Remember, doubts don't disqualify you. Many times doubts are the beginning of greater faith. Doubts just mean you're human. You need somebody. We all need somebody. But you know what you also need? You need the right people. You need people who are not judgmental, but people who are very wise and judicial. You need people who are loving and confidential, that are not gossips, that you know you can share with them and it stays there. And they will pray with you and they will hear you out and they will let you just verbally vomit on them, so to speak, because of the feelings that you're having of isolation at that moment. You need the right people, because the difference, hear me, between where you are and where God wants you to be depends on having the right people in your life. You say, oh, I have people around me, but maybe they're the wrong people. Maybe they're not godly people. Wrong people in life, I'll tell you, if you surround yourself with the wrong people, then you will have the wrong results. But if you surround yourself with the right people, you'll get not only the right result, but they will point you in the right direction. So the difference between where you are now and where God wants you to be depends on having the right people in your life. Look at Proverbs 14:7. Look at it on your outline. The words of the wise are like weapons of knowledge. If you need wise counsel, stay away from the fool. Stay away from the fool. You remember your mama used to tell you, stay away from that fool. Oh, but mama, I love him. I'm going to change him. Listen, if you can't change him before marriage, you're not going to change him after marriage. Surround yourself with the right people. Find the right people. Stay away from the foolish, the unwise, the ungodly. Find the right people, your tribe. Now, how do you find the right people? Well, there are a number of things you can do. Number one is start serving around here. Help us pack and unpack. Help us set up for the dessert. Or take a Sunday and do that. Or help us when we do outreach to the homeless. When you are walking with people who are moving in the same direction, sometimes the best way to get through your personal problem is to concentrate on serving other people. Get your eyes off of your problem and get your eyes on people who have an even greater need than you have, and serve them in the name of Jesus Christ. Stay around and fellowship a little bit. Get to know brothers and sisters in Christ. Get your tribe together and meet with them consistently to encourage you in your faith. But a third thing you need to do is you need to get real with somebody. You need to have hashtag real talk. Real talk. You're serving, but maybe you're isolated in your problem. And you don't share it. You're not honest with these right people that are around you about your struggles. Well, today is the day to do that. Don't keep pretending everything is okay if you're hurting, if you're in isolation. Don't pretend like it's okay. It's all right to remove the mask. It's all right to let the right people around you know that you need help and you need prayers and you need encouragement. Because I want to tell you something. Everybody needs somebody. And if you'll start getting honest, if you'll start serving, if you'll start getting real with people, you'll look back and you'll say, that's a stone. And you'll find your place, you'll find your tribe, because he's building his church stone by stone. Because we are created for connection. But it's something about us as humans that we just naturally drift into isolation. Fight the drift. Fight the drift. Say that with me. Fight the drift. Say it again. Fight the drift. So just to recap, remember God's faithfulness. Rely on God's people. And number three, release the power of your story. Release the power of your story. You see, everybody needs God. Everybody needs somebody. But this third point tells us somebody needs you. Somebody needs you. You know, there's a powerful story. Most of you are familiar with the story of David and Goliath. And I won't go into it. I'll give you a shortened version of it. But David, the little shepherd boy, goes out there, the young guy. And never say you're too young or too old for God to use you. Because God used an 80-year-old and he used this little young David. And every day that giant Goliath would stand before God's people, and he would say, I defy the people of God. Who are you, he would say. He mocked them, to stand against me. And David heard that over and over and over again. So one day he went down to the river and he got him 5 stones. And he whipped that, what do you call that? Slingshot around, and it hit Goliath right in the temple, and he fell down and he stood on him and decapitated him. And he said, this is a victory for God. But something I want you to see here about that is that it wasn't David's personal giant. He wasn't defying David. He was defying the people of Israel. So you're my people. What I'm saying is, you're my people. So your giant becomes my giant. Your giant becomes my giant. Because everybody needs somebody. And there's somebody out there that needs you to share your story. You know, those 5 smooth stones. Why are those river stones so smooth? You know, when they drop them into the river, many times they have jagged edges, ragged edges. But as they tumble through the water and they hit other rocks, they go down waterfalls, they go through the rushing water, through the flowing sand that acts like sandpaper, and they become smooth stones. Well, I want to tell you tonight that every painful experience in your life can become a smooth stone. It becomes a smooth stone that God can use. So go back and look at those stones. Those painful experiences are sitting in the river. And you just need to pick them up and release God's power. That divorce that almost broke you can become your stone. That business venture that you failed in, that can become your stone. That addiction that almost took you under, you can rejoice in the faithfulness of God and you can release that story to help others. The loss of your child, the betrayal of a friend, what the enemy meant for evil, as she was singing tonight, what the enemy meant for evil, God can use it for good, because we know, as Romans 8:28 says, that God works all things together for those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. God loves you. You love him. He can take those painful experiences and use them. And perhaps, and watch this, perhaps your story can be the story that takes down somebody else's giant. See what I'm saying? Your story can become the smooth stone that takes down somebody else's giant. And by you releasing your story, by you sharing your faith, by you telling them about the faithfulness of God in your life, then they are encouraged. You know that friend that's going through struggles and the odds are against them, but you still believe in them? Let them know that. Tell them. Encourage them. Release your story. And it can bring healing into the lives of other people. On November the 21st, 1990, Bill Irwin became the first blind person to walk the entire Appalachian Trail. It's a rugged wilderness trail that stretches from Georgia all the way to southern Maine. And Bill Irwin didn't use compasses. He didn't use Google Maps. You know, he was a blind man. The only thing he had with him was his guide dog, Orient. And they went, and that dog brought him, it was 2,100 miles from Springer Mountain, Georgia to Maine. But he relied upon that guide dog, Orient, to take him over the hills and into the ravines and across the rivers. He relied upon him. You see, what a lot of people don't know about this is Bill Irwin had been an angry man with a drinking problem, 4 failed marriages, and he was battling depression. And then in the middle of all of that, he began to lose his eyesight. A few years after he began to lose his eyesight, he went with his son to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. And at that Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, he said, "Jesus Christ, I give you my life. I can't do this on my own. I can't quit this on my own. I give you my life." Bill Irwin said this later, after he found the hope and joy of salvation. This is what he prayed: "Lord, I'm so grateful for all you've given me and all you've done for me. If there is anything, any way that I can ever say thanks to you, I want you to know it, Lord. I'll do it. Whatever it is, I'll do it." Well, not long after that, Bill felt God calling him to hike the Appalachian Trail. Bill wasn't an outdoorsman. Matter of fact, he didn't like camping. He didn't like hunting. He was out of shape. And by this point in the story, he's completely blind. Why in the world would he take on something like that that's so risky? Well, to anybody that asked him for the explanation of why he was attempting to do this, Bill said simply, "God told me to do it. God told me to do it." And listen to what he said. This just blessed me so much. He said, after the hike, he said, "The first clear-eyed thing I had ever done was as a blind man when I asked God to change my life." He said, "That's the most clear-eyed thing I ever did as a blind man, to give my life to God. When I asked God to take charge of my life." So Bill Irwin, who died in 2014 at the age of 73, to him that hike was an act of obedience. It was to give him an opportunity. And he would be called, they would have him come and speak to civic clubs. And they'd have him come and speak to the JCs and the YCs and all these other different groups. And he would always tell people what changed his life. And he would use that as a stone. And he loved to quote the verse that says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." Wow! Talk about God using an unpleasant experience. No telling how many people found hope through the, because Bill Irwin released his story. And every one of us in this room have a story. Every single one of us, we need to understand that God is building his church stone by stone. You and me together, stone by stone. So the power in your story, when you share your faith and what God has done in your life with other people, is it helped you to fight the drift toward isolation and you begin to live for true connection. And at that point, when you realize that, then you realize you're never alone. You're never alone. And I want to say again, maybe your story can be the story that will take somebody else's giant down. So pick up that stone that you think is nothing, the struggle, the pain, the hurt that you went through. And release your story and watch God move in a miraculous way. You know, we as Christians, modern day Christians, we've almost totally forgotten about personal evangelism, sharing our faith with other people. It's one of the things I love about Michael T. Every time we go somewhere, he and I, he finds a way to share his faith, to give a Bible, to leave something and give a word of encouragement. He puts me to shame. He's just got that gift. He's got the gift. But not only does he, we all have a story to tell. His story is not our story. Your story is not mine. But we all have a story. And if we'll release that story, here's the application I want to give you tonight before I pray. If you want to win the fight against isolation, if you want to win the fight against the drift, then you need the right people in your life. And you need to have the courage to share your story. And you need to always remember the faithfulness of God. Now I'll tell you this. I've failed God many times in my life. But he's never failed me once. And he won't fail you. Let's bow together for prayer. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want you to think about this for a moment. The most important connection you need to make is with God. Maybe you've been walking alone without God. Who is Jesus? He is the Son of God who came to this earth and died on a cross so that you could know inner peace and joy, an abundant life and a purpose in life. He is the cornerstone. He is the crucified one, the one who was crucified in your place and mine. And he was buried in a tomb that was covered by a large stone. And 3 days later, the stone was rolled away. Hallelujah. And tonight, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I can't think of a better time to say, Jesus, I give you my life. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I ask you to come into my life. I give you my life. I surrender everything, Lord, to you. And oh, when you do that, God is going to give you such a story and such peace and joy that you never understood. If you're a Christian and you're struggling with some things right now, maybe you've drifted into isolation, reconnect with God. When we pray in a moment, reconnect. Just be honest with God. Say, Lord, I've drifted away. Lord, I'm sorry. I want to come home. And you know what? God will always say, welcome home. Welcome home. And if you've been in isolation, you've not surrounded yourself by people that love the Lord and love you, maybe that's something you need to change. Because who you hang with determines where you're going to be in the future. Lord, I thank you for your presence here tonight. Lord, I thank you that you're so faithful. God, I thank you that you never fail us. God, we remember your faithfulness tonight. And Lord, we rely upon each other. Remind us tonight that we're all in this together. We're all equal. None of us are better than anybody else. We're just all equal. Fellow pilgrims, fellow strugglers, remind us of how much we need each other. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would release people in this building. Give them the courage. Give them the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to release their story, to throw their stone that can help turn someone else's life around. Lord, I believe this week, people in this room will come into connection with people at work, grocery store, gas station, neighborhood. Lord, you'll bring people into their lives that they can lovingly share their story with. Lord, forgive us when we're in such a hurry we miss those opportunities. Lord, help us to release our story. Because, Lord, when the apostles did, it turned the world upside down. Help us, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.